Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Come on, Jesus.
Colossians chapter 1 from verse 24. Just wait. I decree over somebody here, the favor of the Lord is your portion. In Jesus' mighty name. The struggles are over. They're over. Yeah, read for me.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the suffering of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generation past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power and the works within me.
Amen. Put your hands together for the word of God. He said, we want to present them what? We want to present them to God perfect. Hallelujah. You and I must become perfect. Hallelujah. So, we've been in a long journey, so I will not recap like I normally do. I'll try to get into it. But we have been talking about the process of Christ just being in you to him completely taking over your life. Where we are no longer seen, but it is Christ who is seen in us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. A complete transformation. A complete changing of you, your character, your nature, your behavior, your beliefs, the way you set your life. It must be completely in the Lord's hands. Like as it is written, that the fullness of God was in the Lord Jesus Christ. To the point that the Bible says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So when you are seeing Jesus, you are seeing God. So we must get to the level that when people see us, they are seeing Jesus. These amens are not for Christians. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. That transformation must take place. It is only when it takes place that we mature unto what Paul calls perfection. It is wrong that as a believer, you don't want to grow. It's wrong. When I was at school, I think I was in grade 11 or matric. In science, I think they taught us Newton's law. Is that what it's called? Newton's law. Are there any matrics here? You remember something like that? And there were three elements to Newton's law. Do you remember? I mean, I left matric so long ago. Do you remember? The way they are looking at me. Newton's first law and so on and so forth. Yeah. Putty went to school, I can see. Hallelujah. Now, I did this, I don't know how long ago I was in matric, so you'll correct me if I'm wrong. But there was something like, if an object is in motion, you understand? And there's no any other force that is applied on that object, it will continue to be in motion forever. Does it sound right? So for you to, if this object is moving, for you to stop it, you must apply a force to it, an opposite force for it to stop. Now, when a Christian is not growing, there is an opposite force acting upon the Christian that is not allowing the Christian to grow. Sometimes that force is just simple laziness. It's not even giants and demons. You just like a little bit of sleeping, a little bit of slumber. I knew that only two people will say amen. I listen to me. So all of us must have the desire to grow and to keep growing and to keep growing and to keep growing. God is an infinite God. There is no end to him. He's not like a degree. You get to a point where now you say, now you know God. When you think you know him, you've only seen one side. And there's billions of other sides that you haven't seen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So any believer who is satisfied with their level that they are in, I don't care how high you are, there's another level. I don't care what vision you have seen, there's another level that God wants to take you to. So it becomes very wrong when you become satisfied with where you are in terms of your relationship with God. It's wrong. Jeremiah had seen great and mighty things. But at some point in his walk with God, God noticed that this guy is no longer hungry anymore. And God said to him, ask of me and I will show you great and mighty things that you have not yet seen. Jeremiah, you've been walking with me. I've been giving you words. You've been prophesying. They've come true. But there's so much more that you haven't tasted, that you haven't seen. I listen to me. So let's quickly go to Matthew chapter 19. And let me give you a couple of points and then we will close. Read for me from verse 16. We are busy studying this gentleman and the discussion that he was having with Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 19 from verse 16.
Mm-hmm. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbors as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do?
What else must I do? I like this young man. Is there anything more? Hallelujah. Amen. What did Jesus say?
Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God everything is possible.
Amen. Ask your neighbors, do you want to be rich? What are they saying? But read that other part about a rich man.
Okay, I'll start from 21. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have the treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth.
I'm not lying to you. This is Jesus talking.
It is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven.
It's very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Ask your neighbor again, do you want to be rich? Or what's the answer? It's still amen. Hey, this church. With God, nothing is impossible. I hear you. Hallelujah. So remember I told you that for this process to take place, where you are becoming less and less, and Jesus is becoming more and more visible, it requires a following. Do you remember? And I told you that following firstly means to allow Jesus to begin the work by choice. And then I also told you, following means to have the desire or to long for or to pursue perfection. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to show you a couple of things about this perfection. Now, this young man that Jesus was talking to, the Lord said to him, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. So number one for today, perfection is investing or devoting yourself for heavenly treasures or rewards. Perfection is investing or devoting yourself for heavenly treasures or rewards. When you're a young person who goes to school, you know, the reward you will get from being educated is you will get a good job. Isn't it? That's the whole purpose of it. Because what's the point of going to school and you don't get a job? What's the point? What's the point? So the whole thing is that you want the reward of getting a good job. And the whole point of getting a good job, you want a good income, isn't it? So that you can do whatever you want to do. So, but all these things are natural things that come to an end. There are also heavenly rewards. There are also heavenly treasures. Now, when you step into the realm of perfection, it is when your eye stops only seeing the natural rewards, but starts seeing the divine, eternal rewards. Maldo brosiva kosi parianda bokurus. Read for me Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, quickly. Matthew chapter 6.
Matthew 6, verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moth eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal.
Don't store treasures where?
Here on earth.
Don't store treasures here on earth. All of us have some treasures that we have. You know, you may not be rich, but you have treasures. Your shoes can be your treasures. There are people who have, you know, all their shoes are Nike or Adidas or Inhabe, Puma and Cavella and what? Gucci. Hey. And if you go to their house, you will notice that the shoe is really a treasure. How they are washed, how they are cleaned, how they are packed, you realize that is a treasure. If a thief would come and take some of those shoes, you would have broken the person's heart. Because those shoes mean so much to the person. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. So sometimes you may only think about there's only rich people who have treasures. Anybody can have treasures. Things that you value. Things that you love. Things that you extremely passionate about can become a treasure. So someone who is stepping into the realm of perfection is someone whose treasure suddenly changes from being natural things to be divine things, eternal things, things that have no end. These amens today. I continue where you stopped. Read up until verse 21.
Verse 20. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also.
This is the problem with treasures, is that your heart follows what you treasure. So, if your treasures are in heaven, then your heart will be in heaven. If your treasures are on things of the earth, then your heart is here also. And the Apostle John said, the more we love the world, the more the love of God fades in our lives. So in other words, the more you treasure the things of this world, the less you will treasure God. You'll stop loving Him eventually. So if you want to be perfect, that's what Jesus was saying to this young man. If you want to walk in the realm of perfection, being perfect in God's eyes, go and sell everything you have. Because it's not about what you have anymore. It's not about what you can gain in this world. Go and sell it and give the profits to the poor. And then come and follow me. Now we're going to start to work for divine, heavenly, eternal treasures. Pastor, what are you saying? Because I'm still dreaming about my house. I'm still dreaming about my Ferrari. I'm saying, Aish. Jesus said to the young man, if you want to be perfect, you have to change from loving the things of this world and loving divine things. Read Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. The works of man, you are. I forgot the lyrics. There is. There is nothing. Are you there?
It's Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sight on the realities of heaven.
Set your sights on the realities of heaven.
Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth.
Think about the things of heaven, not about the things of the earth. You know, Nonchantla, when people are busy having boyfriends and girlfriends, oh, I shouldn't go there. The way that your eyes are looking at me now. They are not thinking about the realities of heaven. You find a young girl or a young man falling in love with the wealthiest person in their community. You haven't seen it before. Sandile, most of the time when people leave church, if you really want to know, you will find a boy or a girl somewhere in the situation that have removed the person from church. And most of the time, that boy or that girl is so far from God. And they'll tell, Pastor, I'm in love. You see, your eyes are on the things of the world. Why can't you tell yourself that as for me, I want to marry a guy who knows God, who loves God? Why can't you tell yourself that I want to marry a woman who is in love with God? Who is passionate with God? So you're only looking at six packs. You're only looking at his voice. You're only looking at how he dresses. You see, what is attracting you to these people is worldliness. There are people there who can be a good husband and they also love God dearly. There are people out there who can be a good wife, but they also love God with all their hearts. Are you here? You've gone home. So you always have to look at life from a heavenly perspective if you want to be perfect. You can't look at life from a worldly perspective. You can't. Then you'll never be perfect in God's eyes. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, from today, we are working for heavenly treasures. Heavenly treasures. Not worldly ones. We want heavenly ones. Yeah. In this world, uduma for a short time. There was this guy who used to sing, everybody is in Jala. Woof, woof, woof. Hey! The man was famous. Then one day, I was at lunch at work. Then I saw this guy. Everybody is in Jala. Woof, woof, woof. And the guy had just become like me. Exactly like me. You see, the world uses you like chappies. When you still have some sweetness and juiciness, hey, Nandi. But once the juiciness finishes, And if they step on you by mistake, ish, cis man, disgusting. That's you, by the way. When you've lost your sweetness and juiciness. That's why we cannot chase the things of this life. Your eye must see beyond this life. It must. Once you train your eye, and the only thing that can train your eye is the Word of God. Sometimes people who call themselves Christians, I wonder, do you read the Bible? Because your lifestyle does not agree with the Word of God. Oh yeah, let's not go there. Hallelujah. Perfection, number two, is changing your viewpoint to that of Christ. It is changing your viewpoint to that of Christ. Jesus said to this young man, go and sell everything. Give to the poor. Then once you have done that, come and follow me. Now, what does this come and follow me mean? Come with me to the book of Revelations, chapter 4, and read for me verse 1 quickly.
Revelation chapter 4, verse 1.
Uh-huh.
Then as I looked up, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.
The voice said,
come up here, and I will show you what must happen.
And I will show you. In other words, from your level, you cannot see. For you to see what I want you to see, you have to jump to where I am. So that is what Jesus was saying to this young man. From where you are, there are things you'll never experience. There are things you'll never know. So when Jesus was saying, follow me, he was saying, come up to the level I am in. So that you can begin to see things from the way, from my perspective, from my point of view. So, for you to become perfect in God's eyes, there must be that step of following Jesus, coming up to his level, and seeing life from his perspective, not from yours, not from your friends, not from your families, not from your background. Because there are people, the way they look at life, mina ngumZulu. And so the decisions they make in life is because they are Zulu. There are also people who make decisions in life because they are a woman, or because you are a man, or because you are Sotho, or because you are Tswana, or because you are Venda. But if you want to be perfect, you need to make decisions because you are seen from God's perspective, from how Jesus is seeing the situation, and where he is taking you, and where he wants you to go, and the person that he wants you to be. So following means you are taking a step up. And when you take that step, your eyes will change. Many years ago, I used to say, a spiritual person is like a crazy person. If you are normal to people around you as a Christian, then you are a lukewarm Christian, probably. A lot of people who come to our church, Because you see, the way that I'm trying to structure our church is that once you walk in that door, we swallow you. You must be completely swallowed. We are doing this thing on purpose. And when you are being swallowed, you start hearing comments from your home. Can't you rata cricket too much now? Too much, too much. Yesterday you were in church, today you are in church. No, it's too much now. You are starting to follow. When you start hearing things like that, you must be happy. That it looks like I'm starting to follow Jesus correctly now. Can you imagine a wealthy person saying that I like your Christianity? Then your Christianity is wrong. Something is wrong. That time, it's Mrs. Wealthiness that is talking to you. It's Mr. Wealthiness. They must rather be convicted. They must rather be moved. Am I talking to somebody? So watch when we close these doors and windows. We haven't swallowed you properly yet. The swallowing is still happening. It's going to be proper once we've closed here. Every day there'll be church here. If you're not saying amen, are you a spy or what? What are you, a spy? You've come to spy us. We are still going to swallow you properly. If you are thinking that you are coming to church too much, we haven't even begun yet. I'm so told. Let me tell you the bad news. I'm so told. We are still in the process of swallowing you. Hallelujah. Yeah. So if you want to be perfect, your point of view must change. Mom Ruth, when I was growing up, I only wanted to dress a certain way. When my parents would take me to a shop, I wanted a certain type of label. But when I met Jesus, I said, what is this? It's just a covering so that people don't see my nakedness. Say amen. This is absurd. Don't fight me with your silence. It's just what? A covering that hides our nakedness. That's all. So I stopped that there. I want to dress in a certain way. I want to. In fact, one time I was listening to a man of God. This man of God, every time he preaches, he wears a white suit and a red tie. And white shoes. Every time. And so one day he was preaching. And he said, do you know why I wear a white suit and this red tie every time? I thought he was going to say, I saw a vision. And Jesus stepped by and said, my son, from today, the anointing will move in a certain way. But I want to, you know what he said? He said, it's because it's the cheapest. He said, when I wake up to go to church, I don't have to think, what am I going to wear today? It's the same thing every day. When I heard it, I said, I like this one. I told Mom Ruthie, we have to work on this one so that every time I come to church, one suit, same color, same shirt, same color, same tie. Every time you see me and I'm holding a mic, exactly the same. You know, if a lot of men and women of God would think like that, well, the church will stop being accused for, you know, like we like money. Because also if I come here with a Giorgio Armani suit and Gucci, you would think that I'm eating your tights, even if I'm not. You understand what I'm saying? But when I started following Jesus, I said, I can't make decisions in my life based on what of clothes. This thing. Fabric. Some of you don't like what I'm talking about. Huh? Your point of view must change. You are looking at life through the wrong perspective. Some of us are looking at life from the perspective of our friends. It's our friends who are teaching us how to dress. It's our friends who are teaching us how to talk. Some of you is TV. If we can look at your favorite musician and we call you, we will see that you are twins because that musician has been teaching you. It's not Jesus who is teaching you, it's your musician. Some of you is your colleagues. The way your colleagues are always complaining, you also now have become a complainer. Sesbonum Zalwan, hi, 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 hi. Breaking windows and destroying people's property. Umzalwan. You are not looking at it from Jesus' perspective, point of view. When I was a student in university, I had no interest in what other students were doing. I didn't care what they are doing. My life was so simple. I leave my house, put on my earphones, and my pastor will be preaching to me on my way to school. When I go to the bus, there's one thing that, you know, the TUT, there's a bus there. In the morning, we catch a bus to the main campus. You'll find some fools who come late, and then they just cut the line. But anyway, because my pastor was preaching to me, I couldn't be angry. I was just listening to the word of God. Get into the bus. We'll get to the class. If the lecturer is late, I'll just be listening. Other people will be talking in groups. This is what we did last night. We went, I adjust my earphones and the word of God. When the teacher comes, that's when I take off my earphones and I don't sit at the back because I'm shy. So now if they ask me a question and I have to shout from the back, it's going to be too difficult. Or if I have a question, I'll be too shy to shout from the back that I don't understand. So I used to sit in front so that I can talk to him. One, I said, I don't understand what you are saying. After class, earphones. If my classes are finished, I go back home. That was my life. I didn't need a friend. My friend is Jesus. And that helped me to navigate life from the perspective of what God wants me to do. Some people were being foolish. Some of them, one boy and one girl, they were sitting in the bus. We are going to class. They are busy. We are going to class. It's a bus, yeah. You see, from the perspective of the world, they do all kinds of foolishness. And I didn't allow that foolishness to influence me. And I went to school and I finished school and today I'm still preaching. Can you see? And that's all. But so many people, they just get influenced by anything that comes to their lives. And they forget the seed of the word of God that God has been planting in them for years. Hello? All right, I said I'll be short. Number what? Number three. Perfection means to follow Jesus closely. Someone say closely. Matthew chapter 26 from verse 58. Matthew 26 verse 58.
Matthew 26 from verse 58.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest.
Peter followed him what? At a distance. He was following from far. This is for the first time, Dineo, when Peter started denying Jesus. Because he was following from where? At distance. You cannot be perfect in God's eyes when you are following from far. Many Christians are following from far, unfortunately. They don't want to devote themselves fully. They want to have one foot in the work of God and God's things and one foot in the world. Or they want to sit there by the pool and put their feet only. And so, ooh, the swimming pool is nice today. But they don't want to dive in. They don't. What does that mean? They are following from far. They're around. But they don't devote. They don't commit. Everything they do is from a distance. They don't want to be swallowed by Jesus. Are you still here? You've gone home. So if you want to be perfect, I like it because Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, it's up to you. If you want to be perfect, you can't follow him from a distance. You must be close. And when you follow Jesus closely, sometimes it endangers your own life. Peter became afraid that if I follow him too close, they will take me and kill me also. Sometimes, as an ordinary man of God, a small boy of God that I am, I notice that when people come too close to me, they become targets of the enemy. And sometimes I don't allow people to come too close because I'm worried that are they ready to face the arrows of being close to a servant of God? So if you want to be perfect, you can't follow from far. You must follow Jesus closely. Even if it means it endangers your life. Even if it means it endangers your family. There are certain decisions I've had to make as I'm trying to follow Jesus. That when I look, it's like I hate my wife. When I look, it's like I hate my daughter. One person, when I made a certain decision, one person said to me, you are playing with your marriage. And I said, let it be. If following Jesus will cost me my marriage, let it be. Fortunately, when I was getting married, I didn't follow the Mrs. Weld who loves worldliness. I followed another child of God who loves God by the grace of the living God. So don't follow from far. Tell your neighbor, don't follow from far. Follow Jesus closely. Yeah. When he says, I'm going to the cross, follow him. When he says, I'm fasting now, follow him. Don't say, okay, I'll see you after the fast, Jesus, okay? When you finish fasting, then go Orlando Pirates, all right, sharp. Keep following. When he says pay your tithes, keep following. I'm waiting for that amen. I want to hear it properly. Hallelujah. I don't want to follow the Lord from far. I don't want to have regrets when I die. I must try everything. I must try to be as close as possible. When you're a worker, still follow closely. When you are married, still follow closely. when you have children, still follow closely. As life changes, keep following closely. When you have no money, keep following closely. When you have lots of money, keep following closely. When people like you, keep following closely. When people don't like you, keep following Jesus closely. Am I talking to somebody? Don't follow from far. Don't. And the last one for today. Perfection is a life of selfless sacrificing. It is a life of selfless sacrificing for the will and purposes of God. So when Jesus was telling this young man about being perfect, he was trying to lead him into a life of selfless sacrificing. A lot of us are willing to sacrifice, but we sacrifice only when it benefits us. This type of perfection is a selfless sacrifice that has nothing to do with you at times. That benefits you nothing at times. It's another level. Read for me Luke chapter 9 from verse 57 to verse 62. Luke chapter 9 from verse 57 to verse 62.
Luke chapter 9 from verse 57. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person,
A man came to him and said, because he must have heard about Jesus, seen the miracles, seen everything, and he liked what he see. He was moved by what he saw, and he wanted to join the group of Jesus. Can you see? Then he said to the Lord, "I want to follow you." The Lord said, "I hear you. But if you want to follow me, even foxes are better than me." Jesus is talking. Because foxes have holes where they can go and sleep at night. The birds of the air, they have nests where they can go sleep at night. But the Son of Man has nowhere where he can lay his head. In other words, this life that you are saying you want to follow me into is not a life about having cars. It's not a life about having houses. It's not a life about the good things of this life. It's a life of sacrifice. A life of selfless sacrifice. We don't do the things we do to get things from people. We don't do the things we do to be famous. We don't do the things we do to be liked by people. So if you want to come to this level, just know that you have to kill yourself. You sacrifice for other people that you don't even know. You love other people that you don't know. This is where a lot of people struggle. This is why sometimes people follow from far. Because this life of sacrificing is difficult. But if you want to be perfect, it's the only way. There's no shortcuts. God is not a God of shortcuts. Someone says selfless sacrifice. Yeah. Continue.
59. He said to another person, "Come follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." And another said,
well, yes. You are going too fast. The man just said, I want to go bury my father. Did you hear the response? He didn't say he's going to go bury his friend, his cousin, his father. So Jesus said, it's no longer about you, brother. It's no longer about your family anymore. If you want to be perfect. Let the dead bury the dead. Ah, Jesus, this is someone's father you are talking about. Someone say it's a level. Yeah. Yes. Up to 62.
Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and set them ahead in pairs to.
Was that up till 62? Read 62 again.
But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah. It means I want total devotion. I want all of you, not half of you. You can't say you are following me, but you keep looking back. You can't say that you are following me, but you keep looking at your friends. Some of us, we backslide because of friends. Some of us, we backslide because of family. Your family, they do not understand the passion you have for God. They don't understand. Just today, somebody told my wife that they want to make a birthday party for a one-year-old. And they were saying that, can you please tell your husband that please be around by 12? And my wife said, this one, you have to talk to him for yourself. Then the person said, okay, I'll phone him. I'm still waiting for the phone call even now. You want me where? On a Sunday. It's 12 o'clock now, I'm holding a mic. Am I supposed to stop what I'm doing and go to a birthday party of a one-year-old? But some of us, it doesn't matter what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter the responsibilities we have in the house of God. When your aunt phones, let's say this is the word of God, and your aunt phones, you are going to your aunt now. You just drop the things of God. One time my daughter asked me for food, and there was food that she didn't eat the previous night. So I went and put it in the microwave, do you see? And I think I warmed it too hot. Because when I took the plate, when I had removed it from the microwave, I suddenly realized that, hey, this thing is hot and it's burning me. So now I had the choice. Do I drop it? Or do I try and contain the heat and put it properly on the table? So I just managed to, but I was hot. But some of you, the things of God, the way you drop them, sometimes it's even sad. Sometimes the way you drop the work of God, it's like you are enemies with God. I wanted to say that, but I wasn't sure. So I went to Zulu. Why? Because your aunt has phone. Because your whoever has phone. Because That's why your family members don't see you as a Christian. You are just another. Because they know. You just drop. But you see, Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, you have to let go of all these things and be committed to me. Be devoted to me. If you want to be perfect, it's a life of sacrifice. Sacrifice. It's a life where you choose to suffer on purpose. For other people. Other people. It's a life where you must follow closely. One time, they wanted to kill Jesus. And Jesus got a phone call. In those days, you know, I don't know how a phone call was. But he got a message that Lazarus is very ill. And so the Bible says that Jesus stayed where he was for 4 days. And then when Lazarus had died, then he said, let's go. But where they were going is where they wanted to kill him. So he told his disciples, he said that, I'm going to wake Lazarus up. He's sleeping. Because of the danger that they knew was there, one of his disciples said, but Lord, if he's sleeping, he's okay, Amos. Why are we going to wake him up? So Jesus had to explain that, no, he has died. I'm going to resurrect him. Then one disciple said that, okay, let's go and die with him. Because you see, you have to follow closely. Let's go and die with him. When Jesus was on the cross, there's only one disciple who followed closely. That was John. Everybody else scattered. Then when he was on the cross, he saw his mother standing there. And he looked at his mother and he saw John. And he said to his mother, woman, here's your son. And he said, son, here's your mother. He was the only one who kept following closely. Everybody else ran away. Tell your neighbor, say, if you want to be perfect. Yeah. This message is not for everybody sitting here today. But there might be that one who wants to be perfect. And this is the journey that is before you. If you want to be. Am I talking to somebody? When I remember what the Lord has done, I will go back. Anymore, when I remember,
what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore.
Take it on.
Remember what the Lord
I know today's message was not a shouting message. But I want to be the type of pastor who tells you the truth. Sometimes we shout, we get excited, but we are not preparing for eternity. And eternity is longer than our earthly life here. Amen. Yesterday in the funeral, one gentleman was saying that a few weeks ago he buried his mother, I think he said his mother. And he said the mother was 124 years old. It's long, isn't it? But she's gone. And the fact that she's gone is short. In eternity, after we die, there is no 100 and there's no 1,000 years old. Because if you count, you'll count until. There is no end. That's the life we must prepare for. And we mustn't go into that life with regrets. He said to the young man, if you want to be perfect, do these couple of things and follow me. Then he said, then you will have treasures in heaven. It means you are investing for your eternal life. Not just for this life. Not for things that perish. Eternal life. May the Lord help us to have eyes for eternity. May the Lord help our hearts to long for eternal things. May we not be like Esau, who sold his eternal destiny for a stew beef. Stew beef, Nomsa. Stew beef. He sold his eternal destiny. You see, when God introduces himself, he should be saying, I'm the God of Abraham, Esau, and Isaac. But because of stew beef, he's now the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Or the other way around. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It should have been Esau. But because of stew beef. And I was telling some people here on when did we meet? Tuesday. I was telling some people on Tuesday that we always say, Esau is trial, Marawit. But a lot of us are doing the same thing almost every day. We sell out. We sell out. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together to the Lord. Let's rise to our feet.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. May God be with you.